of the adults, if you'll just stay here with us tonight, we're going to turn in the Bible to the book of Ephesians. I'm going to the 10th chapter, or the 10th verse of the 6th chapter, chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Ephesus became perhaps the largest church in the New Testament churches. It is estimated that it was about 88,000 people. By some historians, they weren't there, so I don't know how they know that. But so put that in what it's worth department. Amen. But it was a great church. Great church. And Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesian church. And the Ephesian letter is a tremendous pivotal letter in the New Testament. But going to the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren. That sounds like a Pentecostal preacher when he's wrapping up. Finally. And the people say, finally. They know it's only 10 more minutes, 15 maybe, till he gets through. Amen. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh in blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Amen. And so, focusing our attention tonight, three times in these verses, we find the word stand. Stand. Amen. And so I'm going to preach tonight on that subject. It's time to take a stand. It's time to take a stand. Amen. Now, you take a stand when you can't take any more. And you've been pushed as much as you're going to be pushed. And you've been attacked as much as you're going to attack. And you just say, all right, right here, I am taking a stand. Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. We are in a battle tonight. If you have not come to that realization, I hope it dawns on you pretty soon that we are in a battle tonight. This church is in a battle tonight. Amen. Now, you know, if something is counterfeit, most people don't want to reproduce that because it has no worth and has no value. And so it's people generally leave it alone. But if something is valuable, when something has value, then it's something that's going to be tried to be duplicated, and that's something that enemies are going to try to steal away. So when you see the devil cutting up, and attacking, it should let us know that we're doing something right and that there is something worthwhile and precious in this place, because he's trying his very best to destroy it. Paul made the statement here. He said, I fought with beasts at Ephesus. Now, he was not talking about literal lions and tigers, oh my. But he was talking up in the spiritual realm. Now, when he said that, what he was saying, I did not run. And I did not retreat. Paul had this understanding that when he felt opposition in a situation, he said, all right, there must be something here. He was enough of a warrior that he understood that if there was opposition in the city of Ephesus, then there must have been something special in Ephesus. And so instead of running away, he said, well, the devil's got a stronghold here. This is what I want. This is high ground. This is a place that's worth fighting for. Did you know the Bible says that the gospel was preached all through Asia from Ephesus? Paul found a place. Just like us, you know, a good Pentecostal preacher, he found this cheap building. Amen. And the Bible says in the hottest part of the day, he had a Bible college. You know why the hottest part of the day? Because that's when nobody else would go. Everybody else had enough sense. They went in the morning when it was cool, and they'd come back in the evening when it was warm, or cooled down a little bit. But in the heat of the day, Paul had a Bible college. And thank God for some people that were willing to go in the heat. Amen. It was not comfortable. They didn't have air conditioning. Linux hadn't invented anything yet. It was just hot. But they went and they listened to the word of the Lord. And they were able to send out preachers and send out missionaries all through the Asian region. And they reached an entire region. All because somebody went to Ephesus and he felt some opposition. And he said, I'm not running from this. This is where I need to be. There's a stronghold here. There's something going on here. And that's why Ephesus became one of the strongest and greatest churches in the New Testament. Because somebody said, I'm going to take a stand. Somebody said, I'm going to plant my feet right here. I'm not going to move until God moves and we see accomplished what it is that he has a desire to do. Amen. Praise God. We're living in a day when there's a push against everything that is God-like. Amen. The music that the world produces is out to destroy morality and the home. Yes, it is. And marriage. Hollywood is certainly out to destroy the home and marriage and everything that's good. Amen. Praise God. If you ever see a preacher portrayed by Hollywood, he's going to be some kind of a hooligan. He's going to be some kind of a cheap thief. Amen. He's not going to be a godly man. He's going to be an adulterer. He's going to be after people's money. He's going to just be some kind of a charlatan. That's not our friend. That's not our friend. Amen. We're going to be attacked from that edge, in that direction. We're going to be attacked from in the educational realm. You know, back in the 60s, we made a huge mistake. Can you believe that one little woman by the name of Madeline Murray O'Hare was able, with the help of some lawyers, to get prayer kicked out of public schools in North America? One woman did that. You know, what's interesting is her son later became a preacher. Amen. Praise God. And so God said, how you like them apples? Amen. He didn't get mama, but he got the son. Praise God. I don't know how many others. But just one woman was able to do that. What I'm saying is the church is under attack. It has been for a long time. And as the end gets nearer, amen. And here's the thing. You see, a ship can go through the most difficult storm. The waves can get so high that ship will rise and rise and rise and then crash down in the valley, and it'll ride another wave, and it can do that for hours and for days, and it'll stay intact. But you know what makes the ship go down? It's whenever something gets on the inside. As long as we keep the world on the outside, we're going to be all right. But if we let the world get on the inside, it'll sink our boat. Amen. It's like the fellow said. He said, if you get a bunch of fellas in a ship and they're all rowing together, he said, you got a fellowship. But if they get upset and start hitting one another with paddles, then you got a battleship. Amen. I want to be a fellowship tonight. Amen. Rowing together. Hallelujah. Going forward. Making progress. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, we're having to take a stand here tonight. And I'm asking you to go with me and let's make a stand. In the book of, I believe, 2 Samuel, there's a list of a group that is called David's Mighty Men, and they were. One of those guys by himself slew 800 Philistines. That's quite a soldier. And there was another fellow there by the name of Shammah. I think he was from Athens. I'll tell you why. I believe Shammah must have been because he got in a fight when the Israel was fighting with a bunch of Philistines, and they wound up in a pea patch. You know, this used to be the black-eyed pea cap of the world. I guess it still is. So he wound up in a pea patch, and everybody else ran. But Shammah stood right there in the middle of the pea patch, and he whipped every last one of them. He took a stand. He said, it may just be a pea patch to you, but he said, it's my pea patch. God gave me this pea patch, and I'm not going to move from it. Him and God established me here, and I'm going to stay right here until the battle is won. Amen. And he became one of David's mighty men. Anybody believe Athens, Texas is worth fighting for? Anybody believe the United Pentecostal Church in Athens, Texas is worth fighting for? Amen. It's time to take a stand. It's time to plant your feet. Make up your mind. Set your heart. And say, I'm not moving from this place. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Our enemy tonight is listed here in the 12th verse. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. That's who our enemy is. It's my brother and my sister that's my enemy. Now let me just say this. People can sometimes yield themselves to be vessels used by satanic forces. Sometimes we can let this little red devil behind the pearly white gate start a big fire just with a word. We got to watch that. That's why James said, the man that offendeth not in word, the same as a perfect man. Amen. If you can live your life and not offend anybody with your words, amen, James said, you're perfect. Amen. Well, I'm not perfect. How about you? Do you remember back in school, they used to have this little saying. I don't even remember where I heard this. It was probably second or third grade. And they said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's one of the biggest lies I was ever taught. I've had some broken bones and they healed faster than some of the words that have been spoken against us. Amen. Words can slash the spirit and wound the heart. And it takes a while to get over things that words can cause. So we have to be very careful with words. Amen. They're very powerful. They're very powerful. Amen. But we do have some enemies tonight. Satan is our enemy. Amen. He will use things that are close to us to get to us and, if possible, to destroy us. Amen. Praise God. And so we have to be very, very careful. But then he goes on to say that we're not ignorant of his devices and his strategies. Amen. You and I, we've been around for a little while. Amen. One of the devil's strategies that's really successful is to say there is no devil. And that works real good for some folks. You tell some people there's a literal devil and they don't believe you. And man, he's really working well in their life. He's got them convinced he doesn't even exist. Amen. But let me tell you something, he's real. He's genuine. He's a real devil. Now, he's not like God. One thing that gets us in trouble is our cult of who Satan is. You know, we think oftentimes and we start making analogies and we say, you know, that the opposite of an angel is a devil. And the opposite of sweet is sour. And the opposite of darkness is light. And we do all these things. And then we say the opposite of God is. And there is no opposite of God. Because God has no equal. There's nothing like God. The devil is a creature. God is the creator. There is nobody like him. He is alone in all things. Amen. You see, God is the creator of angels. And the devil comes and he gets some people all worked up because of how powerful he is. And he is. Amen. But just remember, he's just a created angel. God made him. He's a fallen angel. Yes, one third of the heavenly host fell with him. But if one third fell with him, two thirds are still standing with God. So if I got one devil coming at me, I got one on each side standing with me. Hallelujah. And if that's not enough, I got God to back me up because he is omnipresent. He can work in all places, at all times, with all power, and with all knowledge. Amen. You can't use with the stuff we use. Amen. You can't lose with the stuff we use, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. He's real, folks. Amen. And he's there all the time. I've heard people say, oh, the devil, he's been after me all day. Praise God. Be like that. Y'all stood up to testify and he said, so the devil's been after me all day. Bless his holy name. Well, that wasn't it. that was a testimony. He was testifying about his moanings, you see. That's not what you want to do. A testimony is not time to talk about your test and your moanings. Amen. It's time to talk about being an overcomer. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. That's a testimony right there, you see. You're taking a stand against things. And so Satan, he can only be at one place at one time. He's not omniscient. He cannot read your mind. Now, the devil knows a lot about us because of this thing right here. He listens when we speak. I'm so discouraged. Thank you for the info. You know, so-and-so, I just really don't like them. Thank you for the info. Taking notes here. Find them in your weak spot. Knowing just for how to use you. Because he's learning. By your mouth, you're telling him exactly what he needs to do to bring you down. You know, it's like the guys that went out in the boat. They were out in the middle of the lake, and they were all three preachers, and they got a confession spirit. And one of them he said, I just need to get this off of my chest. He said, I have a problem. He said, I don't mean to. He said, but I have a problem with telling the truth all the time. So I tend to speak evangelistically. I tend to stretch things. He said, and I've cried oceans of tears over that. And I said, I pray for me. He said, that I'll speak the truth more. And the next one said, I got a little problem myself. He said, I never told anybody this. He said, but every time I get around chickens, he said, I just can't help myself. He said, I'm going to walk out with one. I said, I'm a chicken thief. I hate that about myself, but I'm a chicken thief. Just can't help myself. And then the third fellow, he said, what's your problem, brother? He said, whoo! He said, I'm a gossip. I can't wait to get home, tell everything I just heard. So you got to be careful who you tell things to. And when we talk about our discouragements and we talk about our problems out loud, then the devil's listening. Amen. If he's not, one of his imps is. And they're taking notes. And they've been studying humanity for 6,000 years. And they can read you like a book. Amen. They watch your facial expressions. They watch you, how you walk. They listen to what you say. They know whether you're praying or whether you're not praying. They listen to your worship, whether there's fire in it and there's sincerity in it. And they're just watching, you see. And they're looking for a little inroad. We've got an enemy that knows us well. And we need to know our enemy. Praise God. We do. We need to be very careful about what we say. And another great tool that he uses is intimidation. You know, the first thing that the devil used against Jesus Christ, and Brother Treadwell preached about this the other night, he preached about the temptation. And do you know the first thing that Satan did to Jesus Christ was try to make him doubt who he was. He said, if you are. One thing the devil wants to make you do is doubt your salvation and who you are. So he's going to say, did you really get the Holy Ghost? Did you really? How do you know? You know, if you really were a child of God, you wouldn't say that. You wouldn't think that. You wouldn't do that. He's always trying to make you doubt who you are in Jesus Christ. He did that to Jesus. And Jesus didn't let him. He knew who he was. Praise God. And so don't let him make you doubt that you're a child of God. Amen. You know what you do? If he says, how do you know? Then you say, well, I'll just show you. I'm going to go pray through. Praise God. I'm going to stomp on your little head a little bit here in a minute. Amen. I'll be all right as soon as I touch Calvary. Amen. I may be going through something right now. I may be in a struggle right now. But victory's on the horizon. Hallelujah. I'm going to press on and pray through. And I'm going to walk all over you. You see, you just make up your mind. They tried that with the disciples. Right after Pentecost. They tried to destroy them. First thing they did is they laughed at them. Accused them of being drunk. Ha! Bunch of drunkards, look at them. Acting like fools. And they laughed at them. But they were not being intimidated. And they brought them before the Sanhedrin court. And they said, "Don't you preach anymore in that name." Amen. And they said, "Well, we cannot help but speak what we have seen and what we have heard." Hallelujah. Praise God. It's that name. Amen. It's another name. And he said, "There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And so they kept preaching that name. They called them ignorant. Ignorant and unlearned fishermen. Amen. Well, that's all right. Amen. But there's no glory in not doing your best, folks. Do the best you can. You represent Jesus Christ. Amen. Somebody said, and I agree with them, that I think there's no glory in not doing everything you can. Get all the education that you can possibly get. Be the best person that you can be. Praise God. It's okay. Amen. Somebody said get an education and get over it. Well, what that means is don't be prideful about your education. But there's nothing wrong with getting one. Paul was a doctor, if you will. And God used him greatly. Amen. So that we don't need to take a back seat and think we're not anybody and can't do anything. And no. We need to do our best for God. Give it all you got. Amen. If you're going to be a dog catcher, be the best dog catcher in the county. Amen. Whatever you do for God, do it for you. Do your best. Like the old fellow said, they said, "And sir, what do you do?" He said, "I am an ordained plumber." Amen. If you're going to plumb, be ordained about it. Whatever you do, be ordained about it. Amen. Because you represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so, don't be intimidated. Satan will try to intimidate you. He'll do his best. He does, doesn't he? Amen. He tells you things like that. He says, you know, don't pray here. Amen. I read about a fellow years ago, and an old man went to the city and sitting there in a little restaurant, and he bowed his head and he gave thanks and gave grace for his food. When he opened his eyes, there were some young men standing there sneering, and one of them said, he said, "Does everybody do that where you come from?" And he said, "No, sir." He said, "The pigs don't." He wasn't intimidated. He wasn't intimidated. Amen. Don't let people intimidate you. Amen. Praise God. I was in a class one time, and they were talking about people talking in tongues and you know, how ignorant and going on. And finally the teacher said, "Anybody here talk in tongues?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am, I sure do." Amen. Stood up, and I got to tell the whole class about Acts 2:38. Got to tell them about speaking in tongues and plan of salvation. Praise God. Don't be intimidated. It's an honor to represent the King. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, but they tried to intimidate them. They wouldn't be intimidated. Amen. And they couldn't do that. So the next thing he does is compromise. Compromise. Amen. Well, you know, if you just kind of keep this to yourself. Right now we have this thing that's real popular. It's called diversity. Let's everybody be diverse. And let this person believe what they believe, and they go to heaven their way, and you go to heaven your way, and we all go to heaven each one our way. Amen. The problem with that is that diversity means that they can believe what they want to believe. Amen. But they'll condemn you for believing what you believe. Amen. Praise God. We have a little problem with that as Christians, because our Lord and Savior said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." We don't have a choice, folks. We have a choice. Amen. Now, I can't make anybody believe this, but you know what? There's folks out there that want it. There's folks out there that need it. There's folks out there that are dying to receive it. Amen. You say, "Well, Brother Grissom, I've been witnessing to so-and-so for 36 years and they still hadn't received it." Well, go to somebody else. Amen. Praise God. Just get on to somebody else. Hallelujah. If they don't want it, that's okay. Keep praying for them. Don't give up on them. But just go on down the street, find somebody else. Praise God. I was in a church one time, and everybody getting the Holy Ghost was, well, they were not Anglo, they were not white folks. And we're having a revival, praise God, God's sending folks in. And somebody said, "Brother Grissom, aren't we going to win any white people?" I don't know, don't care. I wasn't checking their color. Amen. I was just rejoicing because they got the Holy Ghost. Their color didn't mean anything to me. Amen. Praise God, I just wanted to see people saved, and I still do. Amen. I'm not concerned about what color they are, what language they speak, what color their skin is, what their culture is. God, just give us revival in Athens, Texas. Amen. That's not the thing to get upset about. Amen. If you go to heaven and you get there, I promise you, folks, there's not going to be a white heaven and a black heaven and a yellow heaven and a brown heaven and a red heaven. It's going to be one heaven. and they're going to be there from every language and every color and every nation and every tongue. Amen. Praise God. And guess what? Jesus is not of European extraction. He's a little darker than some of us. Amen. Praise God. That's that brother. Lord's choirs used to sing. He said, "Jesus loves little children. And bread and yellow, black and white. Mix them up and watch them fight." That's the way it is. That's just reality, folks. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be that way in the church. It can be that way in the world. But it don't need to be that way here. Amen. We used to sing a song that said, "Makes me love everybody. Makes me love." We still sing that and believe that. Everybody. We sang it back then. I'm not sure we believed it. Woo, glory. But I better quit meddling and get back to preaching heaven. Amen. Glory. But compromise. That's one of the tools of the devil. Amen. Compromise. I've had friends, that say, "Well, if you just wouldn't preach this so strongly." Well, I have a problem with that, because it's truth. Now, the Bible said, "Preach the truth in love." Everybody say, "In love." Everybody say, "In love." Preach the truth with the spirit of love. Don't just preach truth. Don't preach the truth in arrogance. Don't preach the truth in pride. But preach the truth in love. Amen. Praise God. And so we cannot compromise. I would feel like I was cheating somebody if I preached less than what I know. I've heard people say, "Don't preach doctrine. doctrine divides us. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. The reason we got to where we are is because people didn't preach the same doctrine. The Bible says in Acts, it said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Doctrine unified the church. It did not divide the church. Amen. It doesn't divide, it unifies. It's what brings us together. When we really believe what the Scripture says, it brings us together. You know what? 1,500 years. They remained a people. And how did they do that? Scattered all around the world. They maintained their identity because of their doctrine. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And they clung to that. In the face of every kind of onslaught, they clung to, they just cleaved to that. And they held on to that. And it preserved them. Doctrine will preserve us and keep us, not compromise. Amen. You got to take a stand. Now, I'm not talking about being belligerent and hateful. Brother Holly used to say that he likes steak, but don't slap him up beside the head with it. there's a presentation. Grill that buddy just like you like it. Put a little garnish on the side. Steaming. Well, I'm into sweet potatoes, man. Put a big, nice, hot sweet potato on there. Amen. And woo! Get that, you know, just fan it just a little bit. Get the scent going there. You know, put the cinnamon and the sugar and the butter on the sweet potato. And just, you know, boy, you get somebody's appetite whetted then. Said, my, that looks good. I'd like to try that. Amen. That's the way we're supposed to present truth in a way that people said, that looks good. I want to try that. Amen. Instead of just slapping them up beside the head with it, and they said, I don't want none of that. Amen. Praise God. The Bible said that we're called to be witnesses. Winful witnesses, actually, is what we want to be. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. So we cannot compromise. That's one of the ways the enemy wins. But instead, he said, when you have done all to stand, he said, stand, therefore, take a stand. Plant your feet. Amen. Now, in the Bible, what Paul, and this is very interesting because when Paul's writing this, you see there's soldiers there. And he has the perfect object lesson. He can see them, those soldiers with their dress. So he begins to describe them. And he starts by saying, he said, stand having your loins girt about with truth. You know, this right here is the most tender part of your body. Your loins. It's also where the reproductive organs are. So you've got to, that you cannot be reproduced, you see. And Satan would love nothing more than if he can stop the church from reproducing, he can destroy us in one generation. If we just withdraw and just say us four no more, then in one generation we'll be extinct. So he wants to attack that place in the body where we reproduce that most tender part of our body. And so he said, you gird your loins about with what? With truth. With truth. Don't let anything but get in there but truth. Amen. Praise God. If we conceive children and they're not conceived in truth, what are they? Got to be careful, folks. Amen. Not less. I don't want to pass on to the next generation less than I received. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody preach the truth to me and I'll give the truth to another generation. So, he said, you gird your loins about with truth. Amen. Now, we've said this before, but just one more time, let me explain it quickly. In the Bible times, you know, when they went to war, they wore robes in that time. And they would gird them about. Now today, somebody come up with this brilliant idea called buttons. I'm so glad somebody thought of a button. Isn't that nice? See, and said, I don't have to wear a girdle anymore. That's what, gird up your loins. What do you gird up with? A girdle. A girdle girds. In other words, it holds tight to the body. So you see, but now we have a button and it does the same job. My coat's not flying around. It's tight. Tighter than I want it to be. Watch your eyes. Flying buttons. But it girds to your body, you see. And instead of when it's free, you see it's comfortable like this. That's why I never button it. But have you ever been walking along and snag on something? You see, you don't want to do that when you're in a battle. You don't want your enemy to have something he can grab a hold of and yank you onto the end of a spear or a sword. So when you go to battle, you want to have your loins gird up. You want it tight against you. Amen. And so that's what gird up your loins. And then with truth. And then he said, put on the breastplate of righteousness. That's what covers your heart. Righteousness covers your heart. He said, put on that breastplate, that guard that's going to guard your heart. What is righteousness? It's a right relationship with God, and it's a right relationship with your brothers and sisters. Righteousness. Righteousness. And then he goes on and he said, and have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, when they went to war, they actually had shoes that were like, you know, like cleats on the bottom. Baseball shoes and football shoes and track shoes. They got cleats. You ever run in those kind of things? They got cleats on the bottom. They grip the ground. So when you take a stand, you can plant your feet firmly and they're not going to move and you're not going to slip. So the Bible said you gird yourself and you put on those shoes that help you to take a stand. And when you plant your feet, nothing's going to move you. It's important that we have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then he said, and above all, he said, taking the shield of faith. Amen. Above all. It'll guard you from top to bottom. Amen. Shield of faith. Got to have faith, folks. Amen. Faith in God. Faith in God. That's what shields you. That's what, when doubts come your way, faith is what's going to defeat your doubts. And just hold that up there. No matter what the fiery darts, your faith is going to quench every one of them. Don't lose your faith in God. Hold on. Maintain. Keep the faith. And then he said, take in the shield of faith, and he said that, and the helmet of salvation. Amen. You got to have something to protect your mind. You see, right between your ears, this is where the battlefield really is. It's not between these two ears. It's your mind. You know what the devil can do to you? I've heard people say, well, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. All the devil can do, this is the extent of his power. He can put a thought in your head. And that's all he can do. Now, what you do with that thought is going to determine success or sin. But that's all he can do, is give you a thought. Nothing more. And then he said to take the sword of the Spirit, the word of the Lord. What did Jesus do when he was tempted? He just used the sword. Every time, you know, every time the devil would quote the Bible, he'd get it wrong. And Jesus would get it right. Amen. And he'd just take the sword and he'd just slice him up with it. Amen. Upside one side, down the other. Amen. It still works. The sword. Amen. Which is the word of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. You got to take a stand. Amen. Put on that righteousness and do all that, and you just take your stand, folks. Pray. Everybody say pray. Pray. Praying always. staying in a spirit of prayer. Amen. Be strong in the Lord. But say, be strong in the Lord. Amen. Not just strong, but in the Lord. Muscles are okay. Amen. But that's not what he's talking about. You don't have to hit the gym every day to make it successful as a Christian. Amen. You can go to heaven looking like the Pillsbury Doughman. Amen. You can make it. You can look like the Michelin Man. Thank God there's hope. Amen. Now, exercise does help you get rid of the exercise. I'm not against exercise. Amen. Trying to do some of that. Brother Robbie, get me inspired here. Amen. Praise God. It's been a tough week. But nonetheless, that's not where our strength is. The Bible said be strong in the Lord. Praise God. That's where we've got to be strong. Amen. In prayer, Word of God, worship, tending the house of God. Amen. Those are the things that make us strong in the Lord, and they're important. Let's stand together. Praise God. I've known little bitty people that were very strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, some of those great soldiers, I think of them often. I can close my eyes tonight and go back to a different place, different church, different building. But I can see right there, and I hear Nestor. And she'd get back there. She was a quiet lady, just a real small, thin lady. But she'd get back there. She'd barely get to church. But she'd get in the Holy Ghost, and she'd dance for 30, 45 minutes, just back and forth, back and forth, worshiping the Lord. Amen. Young people that were struggling, they'd go to Sister Ramsey's house and have a prayer meeting. Amen. She'd encourage them. There's going to be young people to get their adults get to heaven because Sister Ramsey here. Because she was an encourager. She was strong in the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Sister Jackson lived right across from the church. Amen. People are going to go to heaven because Sister Jackson, she was strong in the Lord. Amen. My mom was a prayer warrior. I've told you a lot about her. Amen. But she was a prayer warrior. A lot of people are going to go to heaven because of those prayers. Amen. Praise God. I think of my sweet little Aunt Maggie. She was in the nursing home. She had Alzheimer's. Many days she couldn't recognize anybody. But she had such a sweet spirit. Sweet spirit. And if you wanted to know where she was, all you had to do was to follow the sound of the little mouth harmonica. You hear somebody playing when the saints go marching in. Or something, one of those old songs, and you just follow the sound of the music, and there she'd be in there. She might not know who you are. May not know her daughter's name. But she knew Jesus. my cousin, which was her daughter, went to the nursing home one day, and they said, "Oh," said "how's mom?" And the nursing station said, "Oh, she's not today, hon." Said she's been talking out of her head all day. My cousin got down there, and sure enough, she's just talking in tongues, tears running down her cheeks, big old smile on her face. Amen. Didn't even know who her daughter was, but she knew who her Lord was. Amen. That's being strong in the Lord. Amen. Nothing could take it away. Take it away. Praise God. One of our sweet little missionaries, she had a stroke. Amen. Spent many, many years in Columbia, South America. Gave her life to the work of God. She had a stroke, and from that time on, she actually lost her ability to speak English. She only spoke Spanish. That was the language she learned in Columbia. And she that's what she always spoke from that point on. Amen. But she still worshiped God in Spanish. Praise the Lord. That's advantage to learn another language, see? Suppose she hadn't known Spanish, she'd been in trouble. Amen. Sister Covey, I'm putting a plug for you here. Amen. Praise God. Be strong in the Lord. Hey, be strong in the Lord. You know what? It's time to take a stand. Amen. Precious people right here in this church. You've been here a long time. Amen. People can go to heaven because of you. I said there are going to be people in heaven because of you. Amen. You just take a stand. You just take a stand. Amen. And you just make up your mind. The Lord planted me here, and I'm not leaving till He tells me to go. I'm not leaving till He tells me to go. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. It's time to take a stand. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Plant your feet tonight. Amen. I think it'd be good if we'd find us a place at the altar here for a few moments. Let's just tell the Lord again, freshly, God, I'm here to take a stand. I'm here to take a stand. Amen. I'm not moving out of my place. I'm not moving out of my place. I've got people depending on me. You're depending on me. I'm not moving out of my place. I'm not going to give place to the devil. I'm not going to give place to anybody else. Amen. I'm going to stand in my place. Praise God.